Today's daf, brought to you from the Beis HaMedrash in Johannesburg, is Nida, daf Beit. So we start today, Masechet Nida. Just before we begin, let's just give a brief introduction to the Inyanim. First of all, remember that Masechet Nida, even though to us, it's the only Masechet of Taharot, and therefore, because it's the only Talmud Bavli that we have, and because of that, we sort of relate to it as Nida. In other words, we relate to it in terms of the inyanim of Ishut that's involved in Nida. How to relate to a Nida. But in terms of the Seder in which it appears, it's simply one of the Mitamim. And therefore, the introduction to the Masechta here is purely in terms of normal Taharot. Safek Tuma, the way we'd have any Safek Tuma. What's the difference between the Chazakas on a Nida? What are the chumras that we have to worry about, whether she was made up from before or not? The issues per se, what the nida is and how it affects her husband and so on, that's something that we'll get to later on. So that there's really two completely different worlds here. One is the world of the nida in terms of being matami taharot, and that splits into two worlds, which are chulin and kochin. We're always more machmer on kochin when it comes to various sveikot that the rabbanon are gozer than we are on chulin. Those are mahalot that we have by Kodesh. Then there's the other issue, which is in terms of Yisur V'Hetan, of the Nida. So these are two different things. Furthermore, let's just give a brief introduction, because this is what we usually do. I'm sure everybody's familiar with the main issues of Nida. So that we define a Nida as a woman who has been Raya Dam, even if she was Raya Tipas Dam, a very tiny bit of blood, she's considered to be Temeah. The question is, of course, what is the context of that Dam? There's even times when she could be Raya, a lot of Dam, and be completely Torah. So it's not Dam per se that makes her Temeah. It's the Dam in a particular context. So when we're talking about Dam of Nidot, we're referring to Dam that comes specifically as part of the menstruation cycle, and that the Torah defines as being a 7 day, so that any Re'iyah at all during that period is going to be metameher, and she will be tameah for 7 days. And that's the definition of nidot. We'll take the approach of almost all of the rishonim. So the first yes, Adam is metameher for 7 days, and then b'diraisa she simply goes to the mikvah. She's tameah that evening, like any other tefillat yom, and everything is hunky dory. If, however, she's Raya Dam after such a thing. So then we have a halacha l'moshe b'Sinai. There are 11 days between one cycle of Nidot and the other cycle of Nidot, during which any Riyas Dam during that 11 days does not make her a Nida, because we don't see it as part of the regular preparation for having a child, for conception. And that period is called the Yemei Ziva. So during that time, if she's Raya Dam, if she sees any Dam at all, one day, she's only to pay her for that day, and then the next day she has to check, and that's called a Shemeres Yom Keneged Yom. She keeps that next day to be absolutely sure that she isn't going to be Raya again, and she's tired at the end of the day, after, of course, Tefillah. She'll be Tovelet before as well, but she always has to be Choshesheth, but she's going to see. If she's Raya once again, she's Shemeres Yom Keneged Yom on the third day. Once she's Raya 3 days, she then becomes a Zava. Now, a Zava is worse off than she would have been with a Nida, because over there, in order to become Torah, she requires Shiva Torim. So she has to keep 7 days in which there was no Riyah whatsoever. She has to check. None of that is applicable to a Nida. Nida, again, we do this all the time, but you're right, a Nida is Tovelet, even if she was Raya Dam, on exactly the same day. She could have been Raya the entire 7 days. She'd be able to go to the Mikvah and be Torah. So that makes her a Zava, and then she's a Zava Gedela. She has to bring afterwards, in order to eat Kachim, she has to bring a Korban. She's a Mechuseres Kippurim, and so on. That's the Iker thing. Once those 11 days passed, any Re'iyah again starts the cycle over again, and now she becomes a Nida for 7 days, and so on. The reason that we get into a complication when it comes to Nidas that we start off with here in the beginning, vis-a-vis the Inyanim of Tyres, is because we understand that the moment that there's any kind of bleeding, once it's already, that blood has exited the cervix, so it's really going to be metameher, and we won't necessarily know about it, because it could be just simply kept in by the vaginal wall, and we won't know. Therefore, we always have a suffix. Once she's Raya Dam, what happened before? So let's say she was Nogat Petarot yesterday. Do we know for certain that she wasn't a Nida yesterday? We don't know. perhaps there had been some bleeding, maybe a little bit of bleeding, and then it only became recognizable b'chutz today, even though it was mitamir, as long as it was yotze, even though kotlei betarechem hemidu. So that leads us to chumras that we created, we'll see later on in the Gemara, particularly vis-a-vis kutchin. So this Mishnah, actually, it turns out, after quite a bit of shaklavataria, is nogea din of kodesh. So let us begin. Shammai omer, kol anashim dayan sha'atam. So Shammai says we don't worry about anything that was in the past, because she had a cheskas tahira, and she was considered to be Torah a moment ago. Anything that she touched up until the time that we know that that status changed is halachically defined by her cheskas tahira, and therefore it remains tahor. You don't have to worry about it, even if it was kachin. So if I have a whole pile of things that she had touched yesterday or a week ago, there's no problem with those things, even though they're kodesh. Whereas Hillel Omer, not so. We have to assume that she was Tamea since we find her Tamea. So now we go backwards in time and say that the Tumah that we find now actually began at the first moment that it could have begun. And that is at the very moment that we stopped doing a Bedika. So she took her hand out with her Eira Bedika. At that moment she started to bleed. How do you know? Maybe. And therefore, we will be metamir all the way back to the last time that she was nifkedet. Nifkedet means that she checked herself over. V'afilu liyamim harbei. Doesn't matter if it was a week ago, 2 weeks ago. It's all going to be tamei. V'chachamim obrim lo kedivrei zeh v'lo kedivrei zeh. The chachamim, with whom we paskin, say neither approach is correct. Instead, what we do is me'et leit me'ma'et et ayad mipkida lepkida. The concept of 24 hours as a maximum is what it is that the Chachamim were metakein here. But since this is a din specifically in terms of Tumas Kachim, the Rabbanan determined that that is the shir we should worry about. So therefore, the maximum is whatever comes first, 24 hours or the previous Pekida. The Lashon of the Mishnah, Me'et La'et Mima'etet Al-Yad, Mipkida L'Pekida, means that the 24-hour maximum limits the extent, Al-Yad, we talk about Yad Rechava, Arz Yadara, means the extent, it's very wide, very broad. Rashi learns Al-Yad is a Lashon of strength, so it limits the power of Mipkida L'Pekida. In English, we would say limits the extent of the application. It's basically the same type of idea. Both are remozim in the word yad, both in English and in Hebrew. So the extent of pekida lepekida is limited by 24 hours, if that was first. So let's say the pekida was 26 hours ago, or 2 weeks ago. She'll only be metambalim afreya 24 hours. And the pekida lepekida mebayatat ayat mehit. Furthermore, the last occurring Bedika that she made limits the extent of the chumrah of 24 hours into the past. So if her last bedika was 5 hours ago, she'll only be mitameit lemafreya vis-a-vis kachim and things that she touched. That's what it's nogea. It's not nogea, her husband bringing a korban or anything like that. We're talking about taharot right now. There is a case where she will actually mitam lemafreya, but over there it's a matter of nearly instantaneous lemafreya. And that we'll see later on. Right now, in terms of kachim, we're talking about the 24-hour maximal period. Furthermore, kol isha sheyesh la veset dayasha'ata. If we have a kavua veset, now, so a veset means that there's a cycle that we can trust. In order to establish a cycle that's trustworthy, we need to have a chazoka. Chazoka is three times. So if we determine that her re'iyah was always, let's say, on the first of the month, or her re'iyah was always after an established three times gap of a particular number of days, or her re'iyah was always defined by some physical change that took place always before the re'iyah. So then there is no reason to be chayshish, because then we have a chazaka that she will not see. And as we're going to see in the Gemara, the problem with Nida is that we cannot be seimach on a chazaka is because of the fact that by definition, this woman is in a cycle to see. So to say, well, she was Torah before, why shouldn't she stay Torah forever, is ridiculous. She's meant to be Raya. So therefore, in a case where we have an actual reliable cycle, then in Achinami, we have no Chashash. that she saw before. But in this case, we see that she did see. We don't have any particular reason to say she hadn't seen before. So therefore, that's where we're going to be machmer in the Miyet Liyet. But if she has a veset, then everybody agrees, daya shavta, she becomes tamaya only from this point on,
what's
that we discovered the dam. Sorry?
What's the definition of always?
What did I say? When did I say it was? Sorry.
Constant
cycle.
What's
three times? She saw three times in a particular way. Until you undo that cycle by three times, and we'll see that there's a one-time chashash, that cycle is definitive of her. So it's a biological cycle that we're saying on as a chazak. As remember, the whole problem over here that's metame her despite her chazak is a biological cycle. The fact that there is such a thing as menses. So if we have a defined menses period, which is called a veset, then we can rely on that too. So it's the periodicity of menses that determines it. Now, when we say, so where do we get? Kol yishesh veset dayashata. Furthermore, v'hamishameshet be'edim, harezo kipkida, u'metet ayad me'et le'et, ve'al yedei mipkida lepkida. Furthermore, another thing that you have to know is that there is such a thing as a bedika that is not meant as part of the standard bedika cycle. We're going to see later on that in the world of chashash l'taharot, which we're not aware of because we unfortunately don't have taharot bezman hazeh, is where everybody assumes that they're eating anyway chulin betumah and that they are tumeim, having been exposed to tumas meis. But the norm is that a woman would be bodeket to make sure that she's taharot, to continue to be osik in things that are noger taharot. But there's also a time in which, in order to make certain that prior to intercourse, she's definitely not a nida, so she does a bedika. And there are times when we do this also until we establish that there isn't any bleeding that's caused by intercourse. So she does a bedika before, and she does a bedika afterwards. So even though the tachlis of that bedika is not part of the establishment of menses regularly, nonetheless, that is considered to be exactly the same as a pekida for the specific purpose of keeping track of tumah v'tahara vis-a-vis tahiras. And therefore, there is also a third issue. There's not only the mi'es li'es, there's not only the pekida l'pekida, there's also a mishameshes be'edim. The word edim is the reference to the piece of cloth that serves as her witness as to whether she had been Royadam. So therefore, Ketzad, when we say that she's Daya Shata, Hayta Yoshevet B'mita, she's sitting there in the bed in Asuka B'Taharot, and now she's Pirsha, she drops these Taharot, and all of a sudden she's Royadam. The din is, he Tmeya, Vein Taharot. So despite the fact that just up till now she had been touching Taharot, they are not affected. But just remember, this idea of her being metame backwards in time is a retroactive halacha that is purely mirabbanan, and you cannot rely on it to establish a dioraita. So when it comes to the question of when did her nidot start, so then in a monai lemishasharata, she only begins counting her nidot from this minute. So therefore, if, let us say, it is 10 seconds after Shkia, she has no right to assume that there was a Re'iyah yesterday, and therefore she'll be finished being Re'iyah in another 6 days. She's going to be Metama for the next 7 days, because she can't be Samech on this Lekula. Asks the Gemara, why would Shammai hold that there's no Chashash at all on her having been Metame Taharot L'mafreya? My time in the Shkia. He says, look, the woman was Torah before, and therefore a chazak always tells us how to continue to behave until you know differently. So we haven't seen evidence that there was a change until the actual bleeding. And therefore, since she's becheskat Torah omedet, all her Taharot are considered to be Taharot. Indeed, that's a point. So what would Hillel respond to that? V'Hillel. Hillel says, "Ki amar ha'amei davar ha'cheskato echad let le'reyuta megufe." The idea of a chazaka is where there's nothing inherent in the situation that's in front of you that makes you think that there's a reason to doubt your chazaka. Aval itata, when you're dealing with a woman, the whole point of the menses is that megufa kachazia. She has a cycle And because of that cycle, you can't possibly say, unless, of course, it's kavua, and then Einochinami, Hillel agrees. If it's a kavua cycle, then it's a Yeshua Veset. If it's a Yeshua Veset, we have no problem. But if she has a cycle of Re'ia that is basically random in terms of our never knowing when it's going to happen, how can you say, let's assume she's Torah? You're not never going to say, let's assume she's Torah forever. So why say she's assume she's Torah when you find her Tameya 5 minutes ago or 24 hours ago? And therefore, given the Migufa Kachazia, we now see that she has seen. And furthermore, that Re'iyah itself is something that comes from her own goof. So in that case, lo amrinan ukma acheskata. We do not say in such a case to be semech on the Chazaka. Now, I must tell you that the Gemara is going to be dealing with so many variables that it's impossible to introduce them all up front. So what is the derech of the Gemara always is to take an assumption. We have a simple assumption. There's an assumption that there's a concept called chazak. There's an assumption that there's a concept called suffik tumah that will be machmara. Okay, let's just look at that. Now, obviously, I need to determine what type of chazak. I need to determine whether a chazak that has a reyesa is actually a chazak. I have to determine whether there's a difference between a reyesa because of what is found or a reyesa that is built in to the nature of the thing. I have to define the difference between tumah b'rishut hayachid and tumah b'rishut harabim, which is a whole limud from Saita that we're going to be getting to. I need to define the difference between things that change instantaneously or things that are built into gradual change. We're over there, it would be ridiculous to say that a gradual change took place instantaneously at this instant. So obviously that's going to affect the nature of the chazaka before. And that's just an introduction to the issues that we're going to need to be talking about. So what the Gemara usually does is we start off simple. We ask questions, okay, why is it different than that case? And we gradually build up our subtle database of how to make distinctions between all of these cases. And that's exactly what we're going to do now. So this, so far everything seems very straightforward. We're talking about, as a matter of fact, we don't even know at this point that there's a difference between Chulin and Kachim and a difference between Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah. As far as we're concerned, there's a standard suffix of a suffix tuma, and the question is whether we would apply it in a case where there is a reyesa or where we won't. That's all that we see so far. So Shammai is tining, despite the fact that there's a reyesa and migufa, we'll still apply a chazaka. And Hillel is saying if there's a reyesa and migufa, we won't apply the chazaka. That's the starting position. Ask the Gemara, okay, let's take a universally accepted case and see how it differs from that case. Famous case in Mikvaot of a mikvah that's not a mikvah shenimdad v'nimtza chaser. Now here we have a case where we know that something was kosher. We started with a kosher mikvah. We also here have the issue of what was affected by this mikvah, in the same way that we have the question of what was affected by the touch of this woman, Tyrus. So Tyrus are brought to a mikvah to become tahor, and over here the Tyrus are brought to Anita, so to speak, to become tameh. So now the question is, what was the impact of the change in the mikvah, which we now find to be chaser, but at the time we had no reason to believe was chaser. We had looked at it, and once it had been kosher, in the morning it was kosher, the next morning it wasn't kosher. Here too, we have a woman that touched, she was kosher, we did a bedika, there was no problem, and this woman, she's Torah. She touches Tyrus, and the next morning, she's not Torah. Now, it sounds like it ought to be the same. Of course, the first thing that strikes you is, well, gosh, it's very different, because here, I mean, we're talking about the Tyrus. Tyrus started off as Torah, so maybe they'd remain Torah. See, we've very conveniently left out the chazaka on the thing itself. We're only discussing the agency, where the woman is the agency to be metame something. Well, what about the chazaka on the Tyrus? We ignored that. So obviously that's the difference between the cases. The Tyrus that are going into the mikveh were not Tyrus, they were tameh. Everything was tameh, we put it into the mikveh. So any change in the mikveh status, we might look at and say, all right, then why assume that the thing that was tameh became tar? Whereas in this case, we'd say, why assume that the thing was tar became tameh? So the first minute that you look at this case, you're saying, oh, I totally forgot that issue. And here we have to think about that. But there's other things that the Gemara is going to go through. So, what's that?
The mikveh is not from Riuta. It's not from herself. This is something chitzoni that's come.
No, the mikveh, it leaks.
For the woman.
The water gradually leaks out of the mikveh, or it becomes, it goes into the air.
evaporate.
Huh?
Evaporate.
It evaporates. So it's meant to be changing. Certainly, it's not going to stay there forever. Okay, but this, we're talking about all these things. So it says over there that those Taharot Lamafreya, even in Erishus HaRabim, oh, we're introducing a new issue over here. And let's talk about that issue for a moment, because that's going to be one of our big issues in the opening of Nida. And that is that we have a Gzerat HaKatuf that teaches us to deal differently with the Suffolk Tumah Rishut HaRabim, and the word Rishut HaRabim should please not be confused when it comes to Tumah V'Tahira as having anything to do with Rishut HaRabim in Hilchot Shabbat. Over there it's a question of Mechitzot, that's all. Over here it's a question of how many people are present. If you have three people present, it's by definition Rishut HaRabim. It doesn't matter where it takes place. If you have nobody that's present, even if it's out in the broad outdoors, it's Rishut HaYachid. Completely different definition. Where do we get such a crazy thing from? Because the Torah teaches us that in the case of a sota, now isn't that interesting? The only other case where we're involved with women and tuma in exactly the same issues. Questions of whether relationships are asur mutar based on what the Torah has defined as tuma. Now we wouldn't have looked at a sota as having anything to do with tuma, and yet the Torah says beferish vehi nitma velo nitma. From there we learn that we're meant to establish the dinim of sveikot when it comes to taharas, and remarkably the only besechet that we have that deals with safek and the taharas is nida, just like by sota. So both of them have the same strange relationship to women. So over there the Torah says that if she was alone with the guy, then by definition she's asur to her husband, despite the fact that we don't have any witnesses. So in other words, until such time as she does her Mayim HaMa'orim test, she's a nitma. That's our assumption. And now it's an Isser Lav, not a Sofik. It's an Isser Lav for him to sleep with her. So if this is the case, and it's based on a Sofik, which means that the Torah has defined a Sofik if she was nitma'a, when she was alone. So by definition, there weren't three people there. There was just her and the fellow that she's alone with. She is considered to be Tmei'a Vadai. From there, we learn that all tum'ot in Rishut HaYachid, where there's a suffix, but remember, it has to be a suffix similar to the suffix of Saita. Uh-oh. That raises all kinds of problems. Because, of course, by the suffix of Saita, we weren't saying anything about retroactive tumah. We're only saying about something tumah mikan al-haba, which is Tosis's main point of saying that we have no right to really apply the dinim of Sota directly to here, because if we did, then by definition we'd have to say that how can you possibly say she's Torah? Based on Sota, she's alone, so she's Tomeya. Okay, so there's a major difference we can't learn out of Sota, that something is retroactively Tomeya. All right. But nonetheless, if there were more than these two people that were present or someone else, and she's not considered to have been alone, so she's not Nistra. If she's not Nistra, assuming that she's similar to Sota, so then the halacha is that she is Tahora, not that she's Sofik Tame. She doesn't drink the Mayim in that case. She was not Nistra, and therefore the same thing should be true. If you have a Sofik Tum Rishut HaRabim, then there should be no problem at all with that Sofik Tum. It's not a Sofik, it's considered to be Vadai Tahor. Remarkable din. Now, it has to be similar to Sota in all kinds of irrational ways. For instance, a Sota, you'd be able to ask her, did you sleep with the guy or did you not? So therefore, when we're talking about a Sofik Tumah, it has to be, in the words of the Gemara, Sheyesh bo da'at lishael. You have to be able to ask, did you or did you not touch this thing or not touch this thing? But furthermore, remember that there are major differences in that the case of the Sota is similar to Tumat Maga. The Tumah comes from touching somebody else. So only Tumat Maga should be defined by Sota, not Tumat Ri'iya, which is not similar to Sota. So there's a lot of issues which Tosfos uses specifically to distinguish between the normal dinim of Sofik Tumah Rishut HaYachid and Rishut HaRabim and our case of the Sota, but we're going to have to go through them. It's really complex as we go along to make sure that they all make sense.
Sota and Rishut HaRabim, does it matter if people are there?
Rishut HaRabim means there was a third person present.
There was. So it was.
That's all. There was a third person present.
That witnessed it and took it out of Sofik because he witnessed it.
Well, no, over there it's worse than that. It said she's not a Sotaka, she was never alone with the guy. That's the point. Right? By definition. So there it says that everything that had been tameh before are tameot, even brushot harabim, which means that they're tameot vaday. Apparently, it makes no difference whether brushot hayachid or brushot harabim. So l'shamai, kasha l'mafreya. So according to Shammai, it makes no sense because over here we're saying retroactively something is tameh, and Shammai said there's no problem of retroactively something being tameh. And according to Hillel, it's also a problem. Because the kasha, according to Hillel, would be, why is it vaday tameh? When it came to the question in our Mishnah of Nida, as we're going to see later on, this is purely a din by kachim. Therefore, it's really a din, it's not a din in vaday. Even when the Rabbanon were geyser by kachim, they only said tolim, meaning that we leave it hanging. Lo chlim velo sarfim. We don't eat, but you're not allowed to burn kodesh stam. The Rabbanon don't make gezeirot to burn kachim, so we don't burn it. We wait until it's nifsat. V'ilu hacha tumah vaday. And over here, you're saying it's definitely tameh. Well, of course, says the Gemara. What's the comparison? You started off with something that's tameh. You want to make it tahar. And you're saying you went into a mikveh, you don't know if the mikveh is good. So then the thing has a cheskas tumah. So the guy who was tameh, the tyrants that were tameh, never went out of the tumah. Well, how do you know to look at it that way? It's the Gemara Adarabah. I mean, if the mikveh has a chazakah, then that stands above and beyond any chazakah on the item, because we know that it was put in the mikveh. So what we're looking at is something that came out of a mikveh. What do I care about its status? Let's determine the mikveh status. Once we determine the mikveh status, then by definition, we'll have changed the status of the thing. It doesn't make sense to say that we should look at the status of the thing, does it? Why don't we say, Hamed mikveh cheskato, and let's say that lo chasar. You're telling me there's a chazakah? We know that it initially had not been chasar. Well, you can't say lo chasar. It's currently chasar. So, I mean, what's it mean to say the mikveh is shalem? It's not shalem. Arei chasar lefanecha. Well, and in a sense, so now back by the woman, you say the same thing. No, so arei dam lefanecha. So now we're back to the same original question. You told me it doesn't help you to introduce the fact of the chazaka on the tyrus. Fine, let's ignore the chazak on the tyrus. Okay, why is the mikveh not kosher? Because it's chaser. Great, and that's vaday. Yeah, that's vaday. So why is the isha tameya? Well, because there's dam, and that's vaday. No, that's suffik. What? I don't understand the difference now. Well, the difference is that when it comes to dam, she was just raya the dam this minute. Mashli the chazoy. So mikveh also. It's just chaser now. We just noticed that it was chaser. Okay, but there's no comparison. Okay, Ashta. A mikveh is a process. You're going to say that it became chaser, but it doesn't become chaser instantly. It's it gradually evaporates, is absorbed by the ground. So over there, you could say, chaser ve'ata, chaser ve'ata. It's a gradual process. It didn't happen instantaneously. So we know that basically it's been going on. And if it's been going on, you can't possibly say, up until this moment, it was kosher. If it's been going on, but when it comes to the woman, what are you going to say? What are you going to say? She gradually saw blood? There's an instant in which she saw blood and became anita.
Wasn't that exactly what he says?
My question, why are you saying that? Why can't we say that we should look at the woman in exactly the same way? Dilma hagas, hagas, chazite. Maybe it just became more. Hagas means growing and growing amount of blood was standing there in the vagina until finally there was enough to cause a flow to come out of the body that we noticed, but it didn't get to that point instantaneously, certainly not necessarily instantaneously. And therefore, again, you're bringing me two cases. You're telling me to ignore the status of the tarot, look only at the fundamental question, which is the mikveh. Okay, and over here, I'm looking fundamentally at the ikar question, which is the woman. And yet, they're not the same. Why are they not the same? Ah, I'll tell you. The difference is, because when I told you to ignore it, I didn't say to ignore it completely. I said that it's one factor among others, but it's not the only factor. So it's not the essential factor either. But suppose you're in a position where you now need to determine, okay, I have a problem with my mikvah. All right, sounds like good. You got a problem with your mikvah, you have a problem with your woman. You're telling me they're both exactly the same. Lovely. What does that mean, they're both exactly the same? That they're a suffix. Exactly. So now, that means that the agency that it definitely was exposed to is a suffix. Thank you. So let's move on now. That means that the tyrants that were put into it was a suffix. Okay. So in the case of the woman, it was tar. Is that the case? In the case of the mikveh, it was tame, correct? So therefore, we've got two completely different issues over here. We have a difference between tar to l'reuta, and we have a difference between something that is chada l'reuta. It's true that we have a problem, but you have to also take into consideration by the mikveh that once we've decided that the mikveh is a suffix, now the one who went into the mikveh, the thing that was put into the mikveh, also has a reuta because it started off being tameh. So we have a reuta in the item. It was tameh. We have a reuta in the mikveh. We find it to be chaser. Put the two together, and we come out with a vadai tumah. Ben b'rishut ha'yachid, ben b'rishut ha'rabim. Masha Inkain, when it comes to the case on the Mishnah here of the Isha, we only have a problem in the Isha. That's the Reuta. We do not have a Reuta in the Chazaka of the Tyrus. And because of that, we're left with a Suffolk, not with a Vada. And therefore, we're going to say in this case that even though we're Matam Lamafreya, it's not a Tumat Vadai. Tolin, Lo Sarfim, Velo Achlim. Ask the Gemara, okay. So how about this case? Mashra Michavit. What exactly is the difference between the case where somebody was bodeket chavit liot mafishal truma? A guy has a bucket of tevel, wine. A barrel of wine. And he's got this wine back in his house. Wherever he goes, he takes a little bit of wine and he wants to take off trumas and maaseres. He says, okay, the meiser for this should be in the barrel that's in my house. And he keeps tab on how much he's got there, and he keeps taking off the trumas and meisers, leaving them in his barrel. He's going to give the whole thing to the Kohen, or the Levi, as the case may be, when he gets home. So he was first bodek that chavit. It turned out it was perfectly kosher wine, delicious. And unfortunately, he comes back home after having been mafresh all of these trumas and maisers on it, and he looks at his barrel of wine, and now he sees it's chometz. It's vinegar. Now, there's a machlokas whether vinegar is bichlal kosher to take off trumas and maisers from, even b'diavad. Is it a min of yayin or is not a min of yayin? But as the Rishonim point out over here, his intent was to use wine. He certainly did not intend to take off from chometz. That's why he was checking it. In which case, it would have been a truma that was b'ta'ut. A truma b'ta'ut is certainly not truma. So if it was vinegar yesterday and he thought it was wine, when he took off meiser, it's not meiser. That means everything that he had before is now going to be, if it had been vinegar before, still tevel. And therefore, his question is, he's got a problem of suffix tevel. So what would be the halacha over there? So kol, the din over there is like this. Kol shlosha yamim vadai. Mikan ve'elech suffix. So now, the first 3 days, it's considered to be a vadai. Now, what that vadai is a machloket, actually, about whether it's a machloket in Baba Bata, whether it means 3 days prior or the first 3 days subsequent to the bedikah. So in other words, there's two ways of understanding it. The first 3 days after the initial bedikah, we consider the chazaka to be valid because that's how long it would take for it to turn into vinegar. Or whether 3 days before the current check, and when we find out that it was chimutz, then we have to say that it was certainly vinegarish already before, if it's pure vinegar now. And that would be vada, it was vinegar for the past 3 days. Or whether it was vada yayin for the first 3 days. Fine, that's irrelevant to us, because either way, we've got a problem over here. Mikan ve'elech safek. So now, according to Shammai, what kind of safek do we have? Why are we saying that we're going to go backwards in time to retroactively create a problem? It was wine. We know it was wine. It should continue to be wine until such time, halachically, until such time as it's discovered to be different and should be different. According to him, it should be good until this moment.
Take the truma and give it.
Yeah, should be vada yitruma. And that should be Vadai kosher, not Tevel. Should be Mitukan. Well, such a...
Does he have to replace it? Does he have to replace it? Because he still has to give the Truman Maser. Does he give it as the vinegar?
Oh, that, sorry, once it was already Meiser, then, you know, it is Meiser, yeah. So now, that appears to me to be exactly the case of Chavit, isn't it? So how come, I have a problem. Let's take a look, according to Shammai, how does Shammai understand we go retroactive over there? Mishum dikala meimar, ha'amet tevel al cheskatal. So Shammai, well, that's because, of course, this leads us directly into problem with our case of the mikveh. But the obvious answer is that in that case, you start off, just like the obvious answer by the mikveh was, you're starting off with something tummy. Over here, you're starting off with something that is tevel. So how did you change the status of the tevel? And therefore, we should say it was lo nitkan. And why don't we say, ha'amed yayin al cheskato ve'emar lo yichmids? Why not say that the wine was once good? Same question we asked in the mikveh. Why not say that the mikveh was good? Well, because harei chmitz lefanecha. Well, exactly. Achanami harei dam lefanecha. It's exactly the same case. You have dam in front of you, and you have a vinegar barrel in front of you. And nonetheless, by the dam, you're saying that it only changed not. Yes, exactly, says Shammai. Ashtu de chazol. The dam is something that started to bleed now. And why not say, atam nami ashtu de chachmitz? Why not say that it just turned into vinegar? That's ridiculous. How can it just turn into vinegar? It's a process. Bleeding from the uterus is a process. You either are bleeding or not bleeding. Well, why not? Didn't we just say, my question, Dilma Gas Gas Chazite, couldn't there have been a build-up of very, very gradual bleeding until the point that it finally became visible to us and left the body? But that initially, it was there. Okay, true. But there's a difference. Now, obviously, this is a build-up. It's a build-up because we're going to now take a look at the two cases where we use this svara. So we have tarti l'reyuta in this case because we started with tevel. We had tarti l'reyuta in the previous case because we started with tuma. And we only have chodel l'reyuta by the isha because we started with tyrus that the isha touched. In both of these cases, the item that we need to determine whether it was affected by the agency that affected it, in this case the barrel, and in the mikveh case, the mikveh, the item was in a cheskas iser or a cheskas tumah. So we're now allowing the item to be defined by its chazak. That's because we have tarti l'reyusa. Okay, so this sounds like wherever we have tarti l'reyusa, we'll follow the mikveh ideal, and wherever we have chodel l'reyusa, we're going to follow the isha ideal, right?
So where's
the two? The materials that you wanted to be mitaken using this barrel, which was tevel, and the barrel. The materials you put into the mikveh and the mikveh. That was the two. But then, as the Gemara, but then we have a contradiction between the cases of the mikveh and the cases of the barrel. Now, you're going to explain that. So now, Romi Chavita Mikveh. Because why is it that we say, the point of the mikveh was, we say, it's absolutely 100% considered to be tamei, bein b'shut ha'yachid, bein b'shut ha'rabim, and over here, when it comes to the tevel, you said 3 days and then safek. Why safek? Why safek? It's exactly the same case as the mikveh. You're saying, hamidei l'cheskato. Hamidei l'cheskato because it's a tatil reyesa. Was it tevel? What made it not tevel? So it should be Vadai. The Chazaka should help us to determine Vadai. Omer Rabbi Chanina Misura, you're absolutely right. There actually is no way to simply answer that those two cases should be following the same Shita. This is going Aliba. Mantana Chavit. You know who is the author of the Mishnah on Chavit and says that the Chavit is a Safik, it's Rabbi Shimon. And you should know that Rabbi Shimon is consistent, because Rabbi Shimon actually says, by the case of the mikveh, that the case of the mikveh is a Safik and not a Vadai. Because it says Beferish, Ditznan, it says in the Mishnah, Mikvah Shinimdat Venimtza Chaser, it should actually, because the extra piece is not a Ditznan, the extra piece is a Ditanya, as we'll see, is a Brayta. A Mikvah that's Nimdat Venimtza Chaser, Kol Taharot Shenasu Agabav Mafreya, Bein Bushad Rabbim, Bein Bushad Yechid Tamei Ot, that's in the Mishnah. But in the Brayta it adds, Rabbi Shimon Omer, not so fast. It has the dinim of a Sofik Tumah. Dinim of Sofik Tumah is Bershut HaRabim, it's Tahar, which we learn out from Sotah, and Bershut HaYachid are Tolim. So therefore, we now have a Machloket. And of course, we're going to have to explain why exactly we don't apply the special Halach of Sotah according to the Tanakhama. And that we'll do tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem. But we now have, let's just sum up quickly, we now have our introduction to the question of Chazaka going backwards in time, when we know that things have changed. So what we've done is, we've said we can determine in a case where something changes, and that change could be seen as gradual, and only because that change could be seen as gradual, we will take the change, and we will say we have no right to be simich on a prior Chazaka. Because at some point it needed to begin changing from that chazaka. Why not take it all the way back to the moment that it was going to change? So forget about that chazaka. Therefore, all that we're left with is having defined the agency as a problem, as a suffix. We now move on to the question of what was the chazaka, of what was affected by the agency. If there's a reyesa, so that you had tevel, remains tevel. You had tuma, remains tame. You had tahar. So then it could remain tar, according to Shama. It would just be a suffix, according to Hillel. We also have a machloket about whether there is a din of difference of suffix tumor, b'shtarab and b'shtayachid, in terms of the limud from sota, and whether we have a right to view the case where something had definitely been an agency that had one time been kosher, whether we can use the chazaka that was on the tevel, or use the chazaka that was on the tuma, on the tyres. Can we make that a vadai, or are we left with a suffix? And that's the issue that we have to get into tomorrow.